You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two of the men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' There was a written notice above him which read, 'This is the king of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God?' He said, 'since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, 'I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise.' It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, 'Surely this was a righteous man.' When all the people who had gathered to witness the sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The woman who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment."
We're going to look at that passage that Zoe read for us from Luke chapter 23 on page 1060. Do please have that open. The context of what we're thinking about this morning is that Jesus has just had that kind of false trial, hasn't he, before Pilate and Herod. He's led away to be crucified, and Simon from Cyrene is asked to carry the cross. Jesus' body is already so brutalized that he is unable to carry the cross for himself as a result of all the abuse he suffered following his trial. Now, for the grown-ups a second, if you've never read this little book here, The Case for Easter, do have a look at it. There's loads of free copies on the table at the back. But this book talks of what happened at the cross and the truth of the claims of the resurrection. And it's really, really helpful about talking about the ins and outs of what happened to the Lord Jesus. Please do take one on your way out or think about who you might be able to give one to. Now, in our passage in Luke 23, we see that following Jesus is a large group who were mourning and wailing for him. And Jesus turned to this group, didn't he, in verses 29 to 31, and he prophesied that there is a coming judgment that is going to be unbearable for Jerusalem. He prophesied that the sinful nation of Israel was going to be judged because of their rejection of God's ways. And even at this moment, as Jesus is just about to be crucified, we see that he's still thinking of others, showing grace, wanting to prepare those women who were mourning and wailing, wanting to prepare them for the future. And we see later in the scriptures how those prophecies are fulfilled, with Jerusalem being destroyed. But this isn't the only occasion we see in our passage this morning where Jesus is looking out for others during this horrendous ordeal. We'll come to some more in a sec. But look in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 33. It's on the screen as well. We read this. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. That is incredible, isn't it? Jesus prays for those who are crucifying him, asking his Father to forgive them. That is worth dwelling on today, that the Lord Jesus would do that. That is amazing grace, isn't it? Far beyond our comprehension. But doesn't it fit so well with what we've been learning about the Lord Jesus from Luke 22 and Luke 23 over the previous few weeks as we've been building up to Easter? About Jesus being in control and sovereign over all of these events. He is not a helpless victim dying on the cross there. His dying on the cross was not a mistake. Well, we're going to see now the first reaction to Jesus that we're going to focus on today. And it's of those who are watching and the rulers and the soldiers. So have a look down to verse 35. It says this, "The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.'" That is the first reaction we're going to focus on this morning. And it is mocking from the crowds, isn't it? Did you see that in those verses there? We see the people who've come to see what's happening and the rulers who've just given Jesus an unfair trial, standing there blatantly mocking him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ." They had completely misunderstood who Jesus is and why he had come. They had not understood that Jesus had come to die. Could Jesus have come off the cross? Of course he could. Then why did he stay on? Because he was staying on in our place. Jesus was taking part in the greatest swap ever. You see, we read back in Luke chapter 22, verse 37, a couple of weeks ago, that Jesus was going to be numbered with the transgressors. Do you remember that quote from Isaiah 53? He was willingly going to take the place of those who sin. This is the story of the whole Bible all the way through. from the Old Testament through to the Lord Jesus. And this verse here from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 is very helpful. It says this, God made him, that's the Lord Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Friends, Jesus stayed on the cross because as he did, he took on all of our sin. All of the things that we do and say that are wrong, which are against God's plans for us. Sin is where we do what we want instead of what God wants. And it is very, very serious. Sin requires the payment of death. Jesus stayed on the cross to take the punishment our sins deserve. We've seen mockery from the crowds, but look at our second reaction, because we're going to see mockery as well from the cross. That's the second thing we see. Look down to verse 39. One of the criminals being crucified with Jesus says this, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Again, here we see a complete lack of understanding about who Jesus is and why he came. If Jesus had come down off the cross, he wouldn't have been able to save us. Do you see that? The fact that Jesus stayed on the cross means he is able to save us. Now, the cross, it does look like complete foolishness and weakness, doesn't it? It really does. But the Bible is very clear. The cross is the wisdom of God. It was God's plan to rescue his people. And at the cross, we see the greatest swap ever. You see, Jesus is perfect in his goodness. He was innocent. He didn't deserve to die. Both Pilate and Herod both came to that conclusion. He was perfect in his goodness. He had no sin. Yet the Bible is very clear, isn't it, that we are sinful. Each one of us here this morning is guilty of sin, of rejecting God's ways for us and not living for him as we should. Yet on the cross, we see the greatest swap ever. Because on the cross, Jesus takes on himself all of our sin. On the cross, he takes all of our sin onto himself. That would be amazing in itself. But the Christian story is so much better than even that, because we see too that the Lord Jesus gives those who put their trust in him his perfect goodness. That is the greatest swap ever, as Jesus takes on himself our sin and gives us his perfect goodness. So that when God sees us, when we trust his Son, the Lord Jesus, he doesn't see our sin, he sees the Lord Jesus' perfect goodness. That is an incredible swap. And that's what we're going to focus on in our next song, which is "Oh to See the Dawn." The chorus in this says this, the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, bore God's anger for our sin, so that we can stand forgiven at the cross. What a swap. Again, if you can, to page 1060. I'm going to carry on looking at this passage from Luke 23. So far, we've seen mocking from the crowds. We've seen mocking from the cross. The next reaction we're going to consider this morning is faith from the cross. Faith from the cross. If you look down to verse 40, we see this. Graham, if my laptop could go back on, please. Thanks. So from verse 40 on page 1060, after the first criminal on the cross has mocked the Lord Jesus, we see the other criminal rebuke him. He says, "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Wow, that's incredible, isn't it? There we see faith from the cross as the other criminal recognizes the greatest swap. He recognizes Jesus' innocence, doesn't he? That he'd done nothing wrong, and he recognized his own guilt. And because of that, he asked Jesus to remember him. And here, we see Jesus say to him, sorry, sonny, you're too late. You've been too bad a boy. This is no time to say sorry. You've got no chance to put it right. Too bad you didn't come to me sooner. We don't see that, do we? That is not what the Bible says. We might think that is what the criminal deserved, but no. We get Jesus say to the criminal that today he would be with Jesus in paradise. He would be remembered as Jesus came into his kingdom. On the cross, the dying criminal found hope, all because of that greatest swap. Friends, can I encourage you this morning that there is hope for you too? You too can find forgiveness at the cross. It's not too late. Come to Jesus today, simply, empty-handed, as the other criminal on the cross did. Let him take your sin and shame and your guilt on the cross for you. That is why he died, to take your place so that you can be forgiven. And then in verses 44 to 46, we read how Jesus died. And on this Good Friday, it's worth dwelling on these words again, isn't it? From verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he'd said this, he breathed his last. The darkness coming on the land was a sign of God's judgment, proving that the Lord Jesus had taken the place of guilty sinners, proving that this greatest of swaps was accepted by God. And as if the darkness were not a great enough sign, we see too that the temple curtain was torn in two, a sign showing that access to God was now available to all. There was no longer anything blocking access to God, because Jesus had died to take away our sin. Do dwell on these things today, please. They are good for our spiritual health. But the cross is not the only place where we find faith, is it, in this moving account of Jesus' crucifixion? We're going to see the fourth reaction in verse 47. Have a look at that. Verse 47. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. Here's our final reaction to consider today. Faith from someone in the crowd. And a Roman at that. Do you get the shock of that? A Roman is him who recognizes that this was no ordinary crucifixion. He recognizes that Jesus was different, that Jesus was unique, that he was a righteous, that means completely innocent man, proving that he was the only one who could take our place in the greatest swap. So can I ask you this morning, what is your reaction to the Lord Jesus, his death, and the greatest swap that the Bible so clearly talks about? Do you mock or do you believe? Because actually, those are the only two options that the Bible leaves us with this Good Friday. You either mock what the Lord Jesus has done or you put your faith in him. Can I encourage you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, who he is, and what he's done for you. find life through Jesus' death this Good Friday. Now, if you'd like to take up your service sheets, there are some prayers that we're going to say together with a response in bold type. And these prayers help us to dwell on what the Lord Jesus has done for us. So if you feel able, please respond